Remember this moment?
Let's be honest. Is this a comic book version of a presidential campaign?
It's not a comic book. And it's not a very nicely asked question the way you say that.
That's Donald Trump responding to a question from reporter John Harwood in October's CNBC Republican debate. Well, Trump's is now obviously a very successful campaign. But for Bob Mankoff, it is still a cartoon goldmine. Mankoff is the cartoon editor of The New Yorker. If you read it, you probably noticed cartoons in last week's issue were all Trump.
Wait a minute, Robin. This is the first that I'm hearing of this. This is terrible.
wait, are you telling this slipped
I
by
had
you?
No, I had no idea, really. Well, look, I got to own it now.
Well, you know what? We're going to post a lot of them at hereandnow.org. Why did you do this?
Well, you know, the truth is we really had a very even-handed selection of cartoons with Trump and everybody else. And then, I don't know, there was some sort of collusion, some sort of rigged system.
Ah, you colluded.
Where at the last minute before we went to press, someone went in there, I think a Cruise operative, and took out all the other cartoons. You can't help something like that. It's sabotage. Well, why did we do it? We've actually have quite a history of Trump cartoons. The first one in the magazine goes back to 1983, and it shows a Trump Tower, a big sign Trump Tower that's being built, and next to it is a bum with a sign saying Trump bum. So then he was a real estate magnate when he started to deface the West Side with his towers. We did a cartoon in which there's one tower in the shape of a hand with the middle finger extended.
Oh, we remember that. And we should say, you say deface the West Side with his huge towers. Others would say resurrect the West Side. Obviously, there are people living in them.
Yeah. It was more not those particular towers, but really, you know, his attitude towards everything bigger and huger. You know, he actually wanted to build a 150-story tower. So I think the reason we did the cartoons was, well, we really actually had a lot of Trump cartoons. And we on the back of each cartoon, there's an expiration date. You know, best joke by. And so we wanted to do that. But I think we were a little too late because just like the people in the Republican campaign who wanted to stop him, we should have done it earlier because clearly
And again, here's a couple here. Here's Trump being sworn in. And as he's holding up the hand, he says, "And will to the best of my ability," which is terrific ability, by the way. Everyone agrees I have fantastic ability, so there's no problem with my ability, believe me.
I just want to say about what's so great about Trump is you can cartoon him from the back because the back of his head is also recognizable.
His hair.
And that's why he is a unique candidate.
Well, and here's another one. A couple in their bedroom, and she says, "I thought this was going to be a no-Trump zone." Another one, a young Donald Trump building a giant sandcastle on the beach that just has the name Trump. The caption reads, "The formative years at Rockaway Beach." But you say, you know, maybe too late.
We have to start ridiculing him in a different way. So as we actually get to the presidential campaign, we have to ridicule him presidentially.
Well, wait, actually, I just turned to one of the cartoons. A woman opens the door. There's a man at the drawing table. And she says, "Stop, that Trump cartoon you came up with this morning just happened."
Yeah, and we got letters saying then we got letters saying you have completely forfeited your journalistic objectivity. Well, you know, The New Yorker is a great magazine, but it's not journalistically objective. It's taking sides and it has viewpoints. Also, I wrote back to someone that the cartoons are not journalism. They're jokes. I know the difference. You know, some people don't.
They do make
a point somewhat, but their basic idea is to be funny.
Well, his backers might say, you're noting his outsized character, like other characters in history. I'm not drawing the line here, but I'm just saying Teddy Roosevelt or, you know, some are saying.
Or Genghis Khan. Or Attila the Hun, much bigger than life.
I'm thinking more like Truman.
Not therefore admirable.
I'm thinking like Truman, giving him hell. In other words, his backers would say, yeah, our guy is an outsized guy.
He is outsized. He's an outsized character. That's not good or bad. That's just, you know, a variable. So like many outsized characters, you know, Hitler's an outsized character.
Oh, okay, great. See, now that's where people think the line really goes too far. Although David Brooks, I'll just leave you with this, conservative columnist for The New York Times, this really caught me today. He says this is a McCarthy moment, a Joe McCarthy moment. Well, people will be judged by where they stood at this time. Do you see this as more serious than just somebody that you obviously don't respect from New York? You think he's just a character and making fun of him?
I think it is serious, but things are never too serious not to be joked about. So I do think, and look, many Republicans think the same thing. David Brooks is a Republican. Mm-hmm. So it's a really serious moment, and it demands both seriousness and levity because, you know, it's like Lincoln said, if I didn't laugh, I would cry.
That's Bob Bankoff, cartoon editor for The New Yorker. Bob, thanks as always.
Okay, that was fun. Thank you.
And again, we'll have the cartoons at hereandnow.org. Jeremy, here's another one. Three guys at a bar, one loner at the end. The caption reads, "He used to think he was a Napoleon. Now he thinks he's a Trump."